so people. Humans are programmed to survive. There is no right or wrong way to be. You have to figure out what works for you.
Why is it so difficult for people to stick with fitness programs? Why do people get stuck or confronted by it? What is it that makes it so difficult? I want to start first talking about how we're programmed as humans. And it's very interesting because we're designed to survive. Our bodies are amazing things. They can adapt to anything. They can survive in these remote places. We can condition it to act certain ways. We can build muscle.
It has a reserve of energy that it stores in the body in the form of fat.
We are programmed to survive. Our program comes from a time where life wasn't quite as safe as it is now. We didn't have an abundance of food, and there was lots of danger around us. So we had to have these signals and these motivations to keep us safe, basically. And so we have these instincts that's supported by an emotional negative or positive feedback loop. And nutrition or sustenance was basically everything. Obviously, without it, we die. So we are designed to be very focused on making sure we're getting food. And our program comes from a time where we didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. And in order to go get food, that was dangerous. We had to leave the safety of our camp and go out and hunt it or gather it and be exposed. And so we needed signals in our body, feelings in our body, that would be so powerful, so strong, they would get us up and go into that danger and get the food. And so that's why now you hear a lot of people talk about when they're hungry, they talk about they're being starving, because it's really a sensation that you may not live. And it had to be that powerful to get us up off our asses, or we'd just sit there and wither away. We're also designed to want the highest caloric foods, the foods with the most fat, the most energy in them, sugars and salts, because that's the biggest bang for your buck. And so now we have the emotional support system. So when we get the fatty foods, the sugary foods, the salty foods, we get a positive feedback. So that feels good. That supports that feeling. And if we don't have it, if we haven't had it for a while, or we feel we're going to get it taken away, or we can't get to it, there's a negative feeling. And so this programming is going on today when we live in a time where, you know, for the most of us, we have an abundance of food. I have a definition of humans, which is we're fear-based, instinctual animals focused on immediate gratification. And you'll see as we kind of carry on with the discussion why I've kind of come to that definition of us. So now, if you think about it, if we don't know where our next meal is going to come from, we have to, our bodies have to be prepared that it may not come. So we have to store energy. We have to have energy available. So if we don't get our food, if we don't catch something or get food, we have energy. So then we don't die. Or say there's a forest fire and we have to run for days away from it. We may not be able to, you know, stop to get food. So we have to have it stored. And so we have a very efficient storage system. And this is valuable to our bodies. It doesn't want to use this stored energy. It doesn't want to use the fat because it took all that energy to create it. And so it's going to do everything it can to prevent you from burning it. So those are the instincts of resting, of not exercising. You don't want to go out. Your body doesn't want to go out and burn fat. It will if it has to. It's designed for survival. It will if it needs to. There's the fight or flight mechanism. We have to have energy to be able to fight, or energy or to be able to flee. So it's massively valuable. So next time you don't want to go to the gym and work out or go for that run, it's because you're programmed to not want it. It's also a little more difficult for the body to metabolize fat back into energy. Once it's stored it in the fat cells, it has to, you know, release hormones like lipase to break it down, put it back into the blood system as triglycerides, and then your body can use it. It's far easier just to use the energy that's floating in the blood, or that's the glycogen that's stored. It's a lot quicker access. So your body's also going to send you signal to keep replenishing that so it doesn't have to tap into its massively valuable fat storages. If you put on weight easily, you're a survivor. It would have been better for you back when our programming developed. You were more likely to survive. We're also very social animals. We're herding animals. We like to stick in groups, and one way of bonding is around food. Sometimes I do cleanses or fasts, and during that time, it's like so difficult to hang out with my friends because a lot of what we do is based around food, based around eating. Let's go for a drink. Let's go get dinner. Let's go get brunch. And it's difficult to miss out on that. You feel like, I feel kind of lonely. I get these negative feedbacks. I get a sense of loneliness when I don't have food to go to. The food industry has reacted to this programming. It's not an evil or bad industry that's trying to bring us down, but we're conditioned to like the sweeter foods. So the farmers want to sell their fruit, so they're going to grow the sweetest varietals. And since the invention of agriculture, farmers have been growing the sweeter and sweeter fruit because we are losing our taste for bitter foods. And so they want to make money, so they grow those foods. And so these bitter foods are not even that available to us. You know, also, you know, you go to a restaurant, the chef wants you to come back. It wants you to make money. It wants you to enjoy the food. So they add fat and they add salt and they add sugar. And so that you enjoy it and you want more of it. And also they want you to have the perception that you got value. So that's where the size of the food comes in. Like a plate size, like that's an arbitrary size. But, you know, most plates in restaurants in your home, they're all about the same size. Someone made that up. And now if you go to a restaurant, that plate is full, you feel like you got a lot of value. And the healthier foods are the more expensive foods. So they fill the plate often with the cheaper foods, which are like starchy carbs, grains, foods that don't have such nutritional density. Believe me, if we had a taste for bitter green vegetables, that's what would be cheap and available, and that's what everyone would be selling, because we would be buying it. So now you know you have this programming, and this is kind of controlling you. It's embedded in us. It's just, as a human, this is what you do. This is how you're programmed. And so that should remove a lot of this burden and guilt and stress around exercising and feeling guilty that you didn't exercise or that you're resistant to it. We're all conditioned for that, all of us. There are factors why some of us overcome it, but you're conditioned to do it. You know, once you do get healthy and clean, your body realizes that it kind of thrives on that and then you want more of it. But once it gets the cheap calories, the easy to metabolize calories, then it's going to send you signals to get those because it thinks it's easier. It is easier for the body. The body's always looking for the path of least resistance. And so for it, getting these, you know, calorically dense foods is the way to go. Our own control mechanisms. I want to really stress here that there's no right way to look or be. There's no fitness ideal. Yeah, there's healthy and unhealthy for sure. But you're not bad or wrong if you don't fit into a certain size or you don't look a certain way. And that's critically important to understand. Because if you're trying to get fit because you have to fit, if you're trying to get healthy and fit because you're trying to fit into a certain model, you know, a social agreement of how you should look, that's going to be even more miserable to act against the programming. But now you're doing it because of some societal agreement, which is ridiculous. Find out what you want, what's real for you. What are your goals? It can be, you know, to be super lean and muscly, if that's right for you. But it doesn't have to be. You want to be healthy. You want to feel good. You want to be able to have a great quality of life. You want to be able to live a long time feeling your best. You have to really be honest about this. What do you want to feel like? What do you want your body to look like? If you have a way you want your body to feel, a certain fitness level, a certain look, to be a certain weight, which weight I don't think is a very good measure. I think if you really want to measure something, I think probably a body scan like a DEXA, where you can measure body percent of body fat and where you store fat. I think that's probably more valuable than weighing. And just since we're on the subject, if you are going by weight, you want a range. You don't want a fixed number. Like my range could be I want to weigh between 170, 175. And then my goal will be to get to 170, and then I'll kind of, as life goes on, I'll get to 175, and then I'm like, okay, I better do something. Or it could be 10 pounds, between 170, 180. And you want to be able to bounce between, because it's almost impossible to stick to a number, and because you vary several pounds each day. Okay, back to your specific control mechanism. So you have a goal in mind, but you're not at that goal. Now, you've got to ask yourself, why are you not at that goal? What's in your way? What are your barriers? What are the hurdles you have to overcome? We all have these reasons and justifications for why we shouldn't eat the healthy food or skip that unhealthy food or do the exercise. And so we end up looking more like these reasons and justifications than we do the goals that we have in mind. So you got to start getting clear on what are your specific reasons and justifications. How do you convince yourself that you should eat that pizza? You know, it could be something like, I'm gonna be really, starting tomorrow, I'm gonna be really clean, or I went for a run today, or I'm gonna go for a run tomorrow, or it would be rude, I'd make my friends feel bad if I said no to it, I'd look like the odd one out. You know, there could be a number of stuff, and I've worked with people, and there's been some very, very interesting ones, the stories they've told themselves in the mind as their way to justify themselves, not attaining their goals, not following the steps that will get them to their goals. The other component to this is how we use food to gratify ourselves. And what I mean by that is sort of covering an emotion, a feeling. We have stress throughout the day, and it can, you know, it can be anxiety or fear or loneliness, sadness, anything like that. And we don't want to feel that. So what we do things that cause a happier reaction, bring on a happier emotion. And as we talked about earlier, food does that. Food gives you these, releases hormones that make you feel good, make you feel happy. And so if you're feeling stress and sad, in which we have all these emotions throughout the day, every second of the day, you know, we have these thoughts. A thought is just a chemical reaction in the brain, which causes a cascade of hormones, and those are our feelings, and we're having billions of them all the time. And so you're going to react emotionally to them, and we don't want to feel a lot of these emotions, so we do things to gratify us. One being food. It could be another thing. It could be, you know, I'm going to watch TV. I get home, I had a stressful day, I'm going to relax and watch TV. That's, I'm gratifying myself with the TV show. I'm giving myself a good feeling for a little while. You know, I do the same with food. You know, when I do, you know, sometimes I eat, I may do a liquid day, and I'll get to dinner time and all I have is a shake. It tastes great and I like the shake and I know it's good for me, but I get this sense of loneliness of, you know, that there's nothing exciting out there. And it's just my mechanism sending me signals to try and get me to eat. And what I'll do is then I'll justify why I should adhere to those signals. And then I don't end up at my goal. So this is constantly going on. We're constantly battling with this throughout our day, throughout our life. You can condition your body. It gets easier. 100% it gets easier. And the more you kind of get into like a healthy lifestyle, your body wants it more, and these justifications start to go away. Now, there are people on the other end, on the extreme, that, you know, it's part of their mechanism to have to look a certain way or to be a certain way. Like, for example, I used to do expedition length adventure racing. And I think I used to do it because it was very challenging. We would go, it was like 500, 1,000 mile race. And we would take us 7 to 10 days. We'd sleep like 1 hour every 24 hours and we'd just be racing. And in my mind, I felt weak. And so this disproved that feeling. It made me feel strong. It proved to the world that I was strong. And so I did it. And by doing that crazy amount of exercise, I was lean. So it was a byproduct of this negative aspect or thought process or mechanism that I had. And so people can feel weak, so they have to be lean and get strong. So it's not always positive when someone's super, super fit and healthy. So the more you understand your mechanism and the mechanism of being human, the programming, your personal programming and the human programming, the more you can be in control of it. Because right now, it's in control of you. It's making the decisions for you. And if you have this understanding and you make a slight shift, you're going to easily get the goals you want. And that's what I mean when I say you want to remove the barriers that are in your way. You don't want to fight against them, which the fitness industry is always telling you to do. You got to work hard and push and fight, which, yeah, you got to challenge yourself, but you don't have to fight. Like, what are you fighting against? Just remove that, and then it makes it way, way, way easier.
Okay, so what do you do about it?
I have a few kind of ideas and techniques that I use with my clients, and they seem to work quite well. So I'm going to let you know them here, and you can apply kind of what works to you, kind of play with them. You know, they don't all work at first. Or some, they're so contradictory to what you're used to doing, they seem like they don't work, or they seem massively difficult or miserable. So kind of just play with them. Also, let me be clear here that I don't eat like this all the time. I don't apply these techniques all the time. Only if I want, you know, if I want to lose weight or I've eaten a lot, you know, the day before, I never feel restricted. Initially, I did. When I started eating healthy, I did. I used to train so much when I was doing sports that I would have to eat like 6,000 calories a day or my body fat got too low. And so that's how I was conditioned to eat. And so when I stopped training so hard, I was still wanted to eat that much. I was still conditioned to eat that much. So I had to go through this transition as well. And then with my experience working with clients, I started to look at, why is this so difficult? Why has the whole fitness industry reacted to health and fitness as this big aggressive beast that they're pushing you to fight against stuff? So this instinct to eat as much as possible, to try and get in as much in there as you can when you're out, it's very powerful sometimes. So what you want to do before you go out, say you're going out to dinner with your friends, or you know it's not going to be super healthy, you know, they might be going out for burgers, or they might be going out for pizza or whatever. And what you want to do is think nutrition first. So you can either, before you go out, you eat some salad or a bowl of broth soup or something that's going to kind of satisfy you, so you're not going into the situation hungry and not going to eat something that isn't nutritionally dense. This way, you're not going to overeat foods that don't have a ton of nutritional value. The other thing I like to do, or I recommend, is to taste these unhealthy foods, these fun foods, like you would like if you're going wine tasting. Like, we're so specific when we go wine tasting. You know, we sip it, we smell it, we look at it. You know, we're trying to look for all the notes in the wine. But then we often become mindless or unconscious when we're eating food, and we just go into this like haze and we kind of stuff in as much as possible. So if you're very specific about the food you're eating, think about the flavors and the textures and the combinations and what you can taste in it and the whole experience of it. You'll become more present to eating and therefore not eat as much. So if you think nutritional first, so you either eat the salad or the soup or whatever it is that's healthy, either before you go or that's where you order first, and then you just taste these foods, you'll end up eating way less but having the same experience, because that's really what it's about. Is about the experience. You're not really looking for the feeling of swallowing the food and digesting the food. It's really from, oh, there's something exciting in front of me and I'm going to put it in my mouth, and it's that whole experience from plate to the mouth and the chewing it, and then it's done. It's not fun after that. We don't have a lot of pleasure digesting food. It does take time to shift, to sort of wean yourself off this food. It's so interesting. as I talk to clients, I ask them why they eat when they eat. And very rarely is it because they're hungry. It's usually conditioned. We have this agreement that we should have breakfast, lunch, dinner, or the theory that you should eat, you know, many meals, many small meals throughout the day and keep yourself fed the whole time to keep your blood sugar balanced. But these are all made up. I sort of think our bodies can handle eating a lot of food and then not eating for a while. I think that's why we have such an efficient storage system. I mean, we have our energy stored in our bodies. I mean, it's amazing. And our bodies will give up space of the organs to store this energy. It'll reduce the size of your organs to fit in more fat. I don't know if you have ever had the chance to look in someone who's overweight, but they sometimes get little, they have little tiny organs. You know, there's cavities in our abdomen. There's these big spaces and all these squashy organs that the body loves to fit fat in there. The body's amazing because you can condition it. You can change that and it'll adapt and it'll survive. It'll survive on very little. Like, you could feed it very little food. You could feed it not even the greatest food and you will still live. There's people who, you know, grow up in poverty that don't have a variety of food and their bodies still develop. Yeah, they may be have malnutrition. They may not be as healthy and thriving as possible, but their body still survives. It doesn't give up and go, hey, forget it. You're not giving us the nutrition we need. We're not even going to do it. It's pretty incredible. A lot of us are now overeating. We have an abundance of food. And so we have to kind of get ourselves off us, and that's just going to take time. But our body can be conditioned. I remember when I first read about these studies done with Muslim athletes exercising or training. They were track and field athletes training during Ramadan. And they had these two groups. One of them trained at night after they ate, because you can only eat after sundown. And some of them trained, so they had energy and they trained. And the other group only ate after sundown, but still trained in the daytime. So they trained in a fasted state. And they both had the same fitness gains, but the difference was the group that exercised, that trained in a fasted state, utilized more calories from fat. So the body will use fat if it needs to. If it doesn't have the easy energy floating in its blood. I tried this on myself, and at the moment I am into road cycling, and so I'd gone long rides, you know, 2-3 hour rides, and I started to not eat while I was cycling, where before I would eat a lot. I would try and calculate how many calories am I burning, how much do I need, and my body got used to that. So then when I removed the food, I got all these signals of fatigue, and I would start to crash on the ride, and I would have to eat something, and then like 20 minutes later, I felt okay, and I'd keep going. But what happened is each time I could go a bit further without needing the food, until eventually I didn't need to eat during the ride. And then I stopped eating before the ride. So now I'd exercise in a fasted state. I'm at the point now where I can get up, I can go for a long ride, sometimes 60 miles. I don't eat, and I'll get home and I won't be starving. You know, I'll wait a few hours and then I'll go out with my friends and have some food. So my body's now utilizing fat. It's not sending me the same signals anymore. I've conditioned it not to be dependent on these quick fixes. I've conditioned it not to need food all the time. And so I tried this with some of my other endurance athletes, and the same thing happened. Their body became conditioned, became efficient at metabolizing fat. I've also heard other people talk about through certain diets they can do this, like the ketogenic diet. I like to think about the calories I consume on a weekly basis as opposed to a daily basis. So I don't really think, okay, it's been several hours since I had lunch, I better eat now. I think of it more as, wow, this weekend I went out for every single meal and I ate a ton and I had a ton of drinks. I don't really need that much food these next few days. And if you start looking at your week this way, you'll realize there's a lot of times you eat, not when you're hungry, but when you're conditioned to eat because you're afraid you're going to run out of energy. It won't happen. We have enough energy stored in our bodies. I promise you that. Another interesting study that I read was about this man who was over 400 pounds and he didn't eat for 1 year. And by the end of the year, he was 170 pounds. But his body just lived off the fat he had stored. The body lived off that energy. he was monitored and giving supplements. You need supplements and water, obviously. But he didn't eat any food for 1 year. So I probably at the moment have enough fat on my body to last me months. I probably don't need to eat for months. It wouldn't be much fun, and I would not recommend this. I want you to be clear, I'm not recommending not eating. I am recommending getting to know your habits, because that's what's in control of you. And these are often subconscious. There's been shows where they've kind of hidden secret cameras and watched people throughout the day, how they pick, and especially when they're cooking food and they're tasting the food as they go, or parents with children, they pick off the plate. This one lady was eating 7,000 calories outside her meals. The meals weren't even included that. She was eating 7,000 calories a day just on picking food. So be really careful about these habits that are not conscious. You want to bring eating conscious. You will get to the point where you actually prefer not having all this food, which it took me a while, but I'm there now. I still love eating big meals, and I forget when I'm eating them that I'm not going to feel great afterwards, or if I eat certain foods that I'm not going to feel great, but that doesn't matter to me while I'm eating it. It also doesn't really matter to me afterwards. Like, I don't want to become so sensitive to certain foods that I can't ever eat them, and I love them and I enjoy them, so I keep them in my life. I don't miss out on anything in my life, but I do feel way better eating clean, eating healthy, and eating light. I mean, I wake up with more energy. I don't crash in the afternoon. I don't get sleepy in the afternoon. And there's more and more evidence showing that a low-calorie diet is a good prevention to certain diseases like cancer. Blue zones, which are these pockets throughout the world where a large part of the community are living to over 100, a common theme is that they all eat very little. They all eat very light meals. So get to know your habits. Make them conscious. One way to do this is go for a week, eat just really clean food, just really nutritionally dense food, and see what your mind tells you when you're not allowed to eat the food you want. So, if, for example, if I'm not going to eat carbs or sugars or dairy or high fatty foods, if I'm not going to eat that for a week, or I'm going to have like a soup or just a salad or a protein shake for dinner, what does my body do to try and convince me to eat these foods? So get to know what the stories that work for you, your bodies, what is it that your mind tells you that works? And remember, it's way easier to maintain body composition, the certain body composition, than it is to get to a certain one. So if you want to lose weight, if one of your goals is to lose weight and get leaner, it's drastically different, that period where you're trying to lose weight, than it is when you're at your goal and you're just maintaining it. It is way easier to put on fat than it is to lose it, but that's just because we're conditioned for all this feedback of what the pleasure is in eating these foods. But I went away, I had to go to Europe to work for several weeks, and when I was there, I didn't exercise, and I kind of ate whatever I wanted. Partly I wanted to see kind of what would happen to my body. And in that period, I put on 3% body fat. It was just under 4 weeks. I put on 3% body fat and 6 pounds of fat. And I came back and I didn't want to get healthy. I didn't want to get clean. I didn't want to start exercising. And it's that easy to fall off a plan. So I can't even imagine what it's like. Like if someone has a large amount of weight to lose, to feel like they're constantly going to have to be battling these cravings, where in reality you do shift. You have a lifestyle shift and your body starts to enjoy these healthy foods. And at some point you won't even enjoy the unhealthy food so much. You will remember, you'll notice how bad you feel when you're eating them. So just try it. Give yourself a break. Give your body, your organs, your systems a break from having to process all these unhealthy foods, all these processed foods. Eat really clean. Just take on a week. If you can, take on 3 weeks. 21 days seems like a really good time to really kind of clear everything out. But if not, just a week and just be clean. And I do at least 3 weeks. The beginning of the year, I do 3 weeks 100% clean.
No alcohol, no caffeine, no fat, super lean. I do it more. I have little breaks throughout the year, but I definitely do that at the beginning of the year. So try letting your body reset. Try giving your body a break and just flood it with all this nutrition so then your cells can just devour it and grow and live and they're not having to worry about processing all these other foods. So take these recovery breaks periodically throughout the year. I came up with a questionnaire to help you get to know your mechanism and to get to know your goals. And you really need to get to know your goals because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you don't want to be trying to get fit and healthy because that's what society thinks you should be. It's got to matter to you. So you got to get to know what this is. So what I want you to do is to first write down what factors motivate you. So, and they got to be real. Like, I want to fit into these skinny jeans. I want to look good in a bikini. I'm going on vacation. I want to look good. I want to be proud of my body. I want to feel healthy. Whatever it is, write those down. And now write down what the specific results you want are. So to get to those motivating factors, it might be something like I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to add more tone. The reality of what you need to accomplish. Now, this is important. You have to write down what hurdles get in your way. What do you run into? What stops you? It could be time, injury, travel. These are things you use to justify not following the program, not getting up to the alarm, not fitting that workout in, not stopping yourself for eating too much. Now, write down what habits would align with those goals. Who would you have to be to attain those goals? It could be don't snack between meals. Efficient management of the schedule. Avoid interruptions. What are those things you have to do that will align with these goals? Guys, I know it contradicts conventional wisdom. But a lot of the conventional wisdom is just made up. It's old. It's all shifting. It's all changing. Just try stuff. Just play with it. And most importantly, have fun. I mean, don't stress about how you have to look or how you have to be or you got to be a certain weight or whatever. If you have goals, yeah, let's get to them. But don't make your life miserable. Don't suffer about it because that's just going to create bad emotion. And we know what happens when we have bad emotions. We want to cover them and food is a great way to do that. So you're just going to put yourself into deficit. I think we have way too much guilt, way too much stress. Let's have some fun. Eat clean, but don't cut everything out. Okay, go out there, live life, get your goals, and have fun.